He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Week in Review with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management and Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, who will weigh in on a lot of the things going on in the economy and the markets. There's certainly plenty to talk about again this week, Barry.
Oh, yeah, another interesting week. No short of news to discuss.
No, it's certainly not a passive world we live in when, of course, most people in our industry have drank the passive Kool-Aid and are invested in passive accounts. It's a very active world that we live in right now, and we're going to kind of go back and look at what happened this past week and where we're at right now in the market. We had some pretty nice rebounds, actually, this week. The S&P firmed up quite a bit. It's up about 2.5% for the week. I would say commodities led the way. And to some extent, the oil or the tech stocks had a pretty good week. Look at the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ was up almost 5% this week. And we saw some really good action in Tesla, in AMD. I saw a big rebound in Amazon and, of course, NVIDIA. And then at the S&P or the Dow up 4.5% this week. Yeah, the oil stocks, you got oil up around 110 per barrel. You've got the fertilizer stocks still doing really well, food-related, grain-related stocks. So a lot happening this past week. And, of course, the war in Ukraine. It seems like the market has almost kind of gotten used to it. And, of course, it could take a lot of weird twists that we don't know what could happen. But the market seems to be dealing with it right now. And the market also seems to be dealing with the Fed right now. And even though they're on the war path, we're seeing pretty nice action in the tech sector this past week. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review, with Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide firm. And I'm sure Barry, who's our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner, I think you talk to people from all around the country.
Yeah, it's great. We get a lot of perspective. We get a lot of feedback too, just on different parts of the country. And you know, it's interesting because not only are we helping them right from an investment and or financial planning perspective, but you know, some of the stuff they pass on to us makes it into our analysis. As we're blending into getting different information across the country.
Yeah, we have our show is heard in pretty much all parts of the country, from the Northeast to the Northwest to the Southeast to the Southwest, from Florida to California up to Seattle, over to Pennsylvania, and between there.
Lots of clients in the Pacific and in Hawaii as well. So, we cover a plethora of time zones.
Yes, and I can't leave out Minnesota, our friends in Minnesota. We had a question last night. I went to one of these trivia things at a local speakeasy place. And it was, what is the biggest city in the central time zone? And it ended up being a trick question. I was guessing Denver.
It wasn't, was it Houston?
No, Mountain time zone.
Oh,
I'm
Mountain.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I guess, it wouldn't be Houston. It'd be Chicago if it was in the central.
Yeah,
right?
It ended up being Phoenix. And I guess that's because they don't go on daylight. So there's a little asterisk next to that one. But
yeah,
because
they go mountain, and then at other times, right, they're on Pacific time.
Exactly. So, okay, as you talk to people across the country, okay, my main job here is managing the money, putting the money to work, and you know, the team figures out where these folks would probably be best served in which portfolio. Are you hearing an overriding theme around the country from anybody inflation, gas.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's, you know, it's certainly mostly inflation related, right? In terms of, you know, whether it has to do with, you know, the most recently, right, with the Russian invasion, or, you know, prior to, if it had to do with primarily gas prices. You know, and the other thing is, you know, anyone who's, you know, looking to move or looking for a home, right? And, you know, if they're moving from wherever they've retired and are moving, say, to Florida, right? Talking about, real estate prices. But, you know, most of all, it's, you know, just having, certainly, you know, folks that are, you know, looking to potentially come on board, right? It's about,
yes.
It's about, you know, making moves. You know, being adaptive, right, to what's going on in the market versus, you know, just having a stagnant portfolio. And, you know, the indexes did great last year. But,
yeah.
This year, right, not so much. And so
no.
A lot of folks are, just want to, get an idea of how we manage the risks around, around what's going on in the world, whether it's, cash, inverse ETFs. Some of the commodity names that we've ended up owning, but it's just, essentially, how do we manage those risks, right?
Well, if you're sitting in an index, okay. I mean, if you're young and, when I got into the market 23 years ago, the Dow was around 3,500 and today it's 34,000 or whatever. So over the long term, that serves you well, but if you've just retired, okay, I saw the S&P go down 53% in 2009 during the financial crisis, 08 and 09, and I saw the NASDAQ go down 80% back in 2000. So the indexes work real well if you've got the time to recover from a steep loss. But I knew a lot of people back in 2000 that had just retired, and they lost 70 to 80% of their retirement with the crash of the NASDAQ. So we believe in active investing. That doesn't mean day trading and whatnot, I look at everything I own every single day. I watch all the news. On top of what's going on with the Fed, what's going on in Ukraine, what's going on in Israel, what's going on in Iran. I mean, it all plays into the market. And the general themes that we've seen emerge here this year, obviously, I would say inflation is a massive theme in the market. And there's things that do well in an inflationary environment, and there's things that don't do well. Rising interest rates, we're up to 2.34% on the 10-year. That wreaks havoc on bond funds. And, of course, the global turmoil has caused, and other factors have caused this giant spike in energy prices to the point where Europe's in big trouble. They're going to have to find some substitutes for that Russian oil and gas very, very quickly. So, yeah, the world has turned. And, this year we're heavily invested in natural gas stocks and oil and gas stocks and fertilizer stocks and agriculture stocks. 2 years ago, we were invested in the innovation stocks, the electric vehicles and whatnot. That's where the market was at a couple years ago. So you kind of have to stay on top of these trends. And we definitely have a much different trend, much different market, much different economy than we had 2 years ago. I've been a money manager for the last 23 years. I've been an analyst writing up research reports on companies. We still write stories for Seeking Alpha when we get some spare time, which we haven't had much of lately. We're ranked in the top 5%. No, 2.5%, I'm sorry, of writers, 8,000 writers out there on Seeking Alpha. And, of course, I'm in the throes of publishing my newsletter today. And I usually put the finishing touches on it Saturday morning and then send it out. And that newsletter goes out to all of our clients so they know exactly where we stand on the market. We send them out to our clients all across America every Saturday, the newsletter. And, of course, we have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that follow us that want to manage their own money with a little guidance and help and, from learning from somebody who's in the market every single day like we are, that's pretty useful. It's like going to a fishing guide if you're in an area of uncharted waters, which we're kind of in right now. the fishing guides that have been in it all their life kind of know how to adapt to changing currents and changing water temperatures and whatnot. So anyways, we offer out 2 free weeks of the newsletter. It lists all of our portfolios, how they're performing, what's in them, what we currently own right now. We have an ETF portfolio. We have a mutual fund portfolio. The rest of them are stock portfolios. Our dividend portfolio is doing very well this year. It's actually in positive territory, and the S&P is still down about 6% on the year. But if you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, we offer it out on our Saturday show, Friday show, week in review. You can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. And when we come back, I want to talk about Ukraine. I want to talk about fertilizer. I want to talk about commodities, interest rates, the bond market, the Boeing crash. A lot to cover in today's show. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I think some of the big themes I saw in the market. Look, this has been a tough year in the market. We had some just horrible, the market did, that is, some very bad days. Whether it was, the COVID, which is pretty much kind of come and gone here in the U.S., maybe coming back again in the form of what, BA2 or BA3, something like that, but it seems to be out of the picture. The Fed is the big story. 7 interest rate hikes expected this year. The big loser this past week, and not a good place to be invested right now, are the bond funds. In fact, some of the ETFs down 2 to 3% again this past week. Most of those bond funds are down anywhere from 6 to 8% so far this year. And you got to remember that the Fed has only hiked interest rates one time. Okay, Barry? They've thrown 0.25 point rate hike at raging inflation. Wouldn't you say they're going to have to step up the pace a little bit?
Yeah, and I think the market's come to that realization. It seems like the Fed is beginning to come to that realization. And so, looks like we're, likely going to have, at least a 50-point hike the next go-round. I heard the joke, 25, 50 is the new 25.
Yeah,
50 is
yes.
Basis points. So, we certainly have, those interest rate headwinds. The thing about interest rates is the market, it seems to have priced a good bit of that in pretty quickly, certainly at the 10-year. I mean, we've had it move pretty significantly in the last couple of weeks.
I think a week ago today, it was down around 2.1 or something like that. And then he kind of didn't about face Jerome Powell this week, got much more hawkish. And all of a sudden we were back up to 2.35 just like that. And, oil went down to about $93 a barrel last week, and I said, that ain't going to last long. And sure enough, we're back up around 109, 110, 113 in that area. I have a friend visiting from California. He saw our gas prices. He wants to take some home with him on the airplane at $3.99 a gallon. I said, I don't know if they'll let you do that. He was in the gas station the other day in California, and someone was in the cash register saying, I just want $2 on pump number 6. Some guy got wisecracked. What do you need it for, to get to pump number 8? So anyways, ridiculous. It's just absolutely what they're paying in other parts. And in Europe, diesel's like $7.50 and everything. So obviously, that's been a good place to invest. I've been as a professional in my 23 years, I've seen 3 major big bull cycles in the commodities And the last one I would say is when China was going crazy and building and buying up all the commodities around the world.
Yeah, was that around 2012-ish or so?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Or, you know, early in the 2010s, right?
So that's why I'm very familiar with all these names like Cleveland Cliffs and Nucor and, of course, the fertilizer stocks, Nutrien and Mosaic. We own a lot of those. This is a great year for commodities because they do well in an inflationary environment. And the things that don't do well in an inflationary environment, well, anything consumer-related for the most part, because the costs of these things are just continuing to go up, and those poor companies are having to, their input costs are just continue to go higher. It's not a good year for restaurant stocks, for mall-based retailers, et cetera, and a lot of areas that don't do well in an inflationary environment. If you can't pass the rising cost along to the customer, you're in big trouble. And, of course, at some point in time, you reach that demand destruction where things just get so expensive, gasoline gets so expensive, you just don't go on any trips in anymore. So there's a lot of forces at work in the market this year. And remember, we had falling interest rates for 40 years. You got to go back to, 1981, 1982, when Volcker had to put interest rates up around 20% to finally whip inflation. And here we are. We've had falling interest rates for 40 years. And when there's a big shift like that, that's a massive shift going from falling interest rates to rising interest rates. We haven't seen an environment like that in 40 years. And that has to change the way you think about the markets. And if you look in the newsletter at our portfolios today and compare them with where we were at 2 years ago, I mean, we're not in Teladoc. We're not in Etsy. We're not in Upstart and a lot of these high-flying technology stocks. Instead, you see us in Cleveland Cliffs and Nutrien and different commodity-like stocks. That's why it's good to be an active investor and unconstrained, where I don't have my hands tied. You know, I look at poor Kathy Wood at ARK Fund. Her hands are tied to the innovation stocks. And the long-duration stocks, the biotechs, the startups that just went public, the Rivians, et cetera, they don't do well in a rising interest rate environment because their ratios, their price to sales, price to earnings, price to cash flow, price to book values are punished.
And they're burning cash, by the way.
Yes, and they're burning cash. Now, that's okay in a speculative environment like we had in 2000. Everybody was home, locked in their houses and their basements, couldn't go outside. And they're speculating in stocks, and they know that eventually the COVID's going to, release someday, and we're all going to be back spending money in the economy. That was a year of speculation, big year of speculation, but it also created some big bubbles. And then you saw some of those innovation ETFs go down 60, 50, 60%. Well, there was a time to get out of those, and that was about February of last year when interest rates first started to go up. And that's the area of the market that got punished the hardest. And money just continues to flow out of that and into a lot of the more basic materials, basic chemical stocks, things that have not been in favor for quite some time. And, of course, the bond market, it's had a real tough time, the bond funds. And it doesn't matter if it's a corporate bond, a municipal bond, Ginnie Mae, they've all been under heavy pressure because we are now in a rising interest rate environment. The 30-year mortgage, I was reading the other day, 4.5% now. And I remember people not that long ago getting them just under 3%. So this is going to hurt. Eventually it's going to hurt the construction industry. It's going to hurt the home builders. It's going to hurt the lenders, the mortgage lenders. So you just have to be able to adapt. When the market zigs, you got to zag a little bit
Otherwise, you get trapped in the winners of 2 years ago that are getting thrashed today. Well, you might want to have a look at our newsletter this week. It will be chock full of everything that's happening in the market right now. It's the Best Stocks Now newsletter. You get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, week in review, Gunderson Capital Management. We are a virtual firm with clients all across the country. I started up a virtual firm. I converted, I guess, mostly. I was in San Diego for many, many years. Still have a lot of San Diego clients, California clients. But because of our radio show, across the country, We became a virtual firm before COVID came along, and so we were well positioned, I suppose, during the whole COVID thing. And look, we can just get more done. We're much more, efficient, I think is the word, with our time and your time. And it was a big project to drive downtown to our headquarters in downtown San Diego on the 19th floor. And find a parking place and everything. And, we still meet with a few people in person, not a whole lot, but for the most part, we do everything virtually, the telephone or Zoom calls, whatever you prefer. And, it makes it a whole lot easier for everybody. So if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, we review portfolios. Maybe you've seen some portfolio destruction this year. And you feel like nobody's really minding the mint or shifting the focus a little bit in these changing times that we're in. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, set up an appointment, 855-611-BEST, or you can begin by getting the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Okay, Barry, I want to step back just for a moment and look at the big picture, okay? I've taught for many years on my show and in workshops and in the newsletter that stocks and indexes follow earnings. It's as simple as that. As earnings rise, the markets and stocks follow along with those rising earnings. And if you step back for a moment and you go back to 2009 when earnings bottomed at $53 per share, for the S&P 500, you will see that earnings have been rising every year, except for the COVID year, for the last 13 years, okay? And that's why you're seeing new highs in the NASDAQ and new highs in the Dow and almost new highs. The NASDAQ's been as high as 16,000. The S&P's been as high as almost 5,000. And we were at 600 at the S&P 500 back in 2009. But earnings of those 500 S&P 500 companies have been going up every year since then. So we still are technically in a bull market. The NASDAQ had a 20% dip earlier this year. It went into bear market territory for just a few days, and then it came right back out of it. And it's back, in that bull market that it's been in since 2009. And the earnings estimates right now for this year, 2022, and next year, 2023, as of now, the consensus is continued growth in earnings, okay? So the bull is still intact, but the sectors of the market that are doing well in this unique environment we're in are completely different from a couple of years ago. And we update those earnings estimates for the S&P 500 and our target price every single week in the newsletter. this market can continue to go higher and hit new record highs, but there's a lot of what ifs, okay? Inflation is a big what if. Will they get inflation under control? So far, they've thrown a quarter of a point, quarter of a 25 basis point rate hike, which is nothing, to try to fight inflation. And I think soon thereafter, within days, it would seem, Barry, that Jerome Powell kind of rethought his tepid response and has pretty much signaled, you know, that he's going to step up the pace at the next few meetings.
Yeah, and I think he would have done it at this last meeting, but I just don't think he had enough runway between, you know, between the time that the, you know, Russian-Ukraine, invasion kind of kicked off and, you know, and then the meeting, right? I think, I think they want to do a good job of signaling to the market.
Yeah.
Which we appreciate, right? It's, you don't want to be surprised.
We don't like surprises, no.
Right. It's not like Volcker raising, a percent or two at a time, back in the day to beat inflation. But, I think, like I said, I think he would have done that half point, if he could. And now they're on kind of that, press tour to get the market ready for a 50 basis point move at the next meeting would be my guess.
So that's a wild card. We don't know what impact that's going to have. The biggest impact that rising interest rate has, not so much on earnings, but the multiplier that we use on those earnings to determine target prices. As interest rates go up, that multiplier shrinks. And that's, you saw a big adjustment in the S&P 500. We were trading like at 23 times forward earnings there for a while. It went clear down to 18 in just a matter of a few months as those interest rates started to move higher. So we have to see, how fast the Fed goes and whether they can maneuver a soft landing. There's a lot of doubt out there about that. The other big wild card is still Ukraine. I mean, that's turned the world upside down, especially in the energy markets. You have Europe, which was getting 40% of its natural gas from Russia, dependent upon Russia, and they were getting ready to receive twice that amount with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which has now been shut or not going to happen. It's not going to be finished unless there was some major change by Russia. So now they're scrambling. And that's putting upwards pressure on energy prices, especially natural gas. And that's a good place to be invested right now. And I'd even be more specific, liquid natural gas. Who was I reading about here recently? I think it's Russia that wants to really step up their supply of liquid natural gas. But I don't know. They got to have buyers for it. Who's going to buy it? That seems to be the move that Europe is taking. As the bridge between, heavy oil to wind and solar, it seems to be that liquid natural gas is going to become a big, big bridge.
Yeah, that might be the handoff, right? Like you said,
that's going to be that transition. Yep, mm-hmm. And it's going to drive prices higher. And, of course, a lot of products are made from natural gas. That's one of the reasons why you're seeing fertilizer costs soar. And then you've got all of the supply chain trouble that's driving prices up. So, I mean, we're still in a bull market technically, and we're definitely in an earnings bull market. We're looking for bigger earnings this year than last year, and we're looking for record earnings next year versus this year. That's the expectations. But, I mean, they change by the week, and we watch those very closely. I have not seen any major downgrades yet. To earnings, future earnings of the S&P 500, even despite all of these different forces that are at work out there. And I mean, there's a lot of them that we have to keep our eyes on right now. You even heard President Biden yesterday in Brussels mentioning food shortages. Get ready for food shortages. Well, when I hear that word, I hear inflation. I mean, if the supply gets tight, it's the old supply demand equation. That's going to drive prices higher. And you would think then the Fed would have to move even faster. So stay tuned each week. I put out that newsletter each week with those earnings forecasts for the S&P 500. That is a better indicator than any indicator I know of to kind of get a handle on the overall macro picture of the market. And I will be updating my earnings estimates for this year and next year in today's newsletter that goes out on Saturday. And the multiplier, which we've been contracting our multiplier. Goldman Sachs dropped their target price on the S&P 500 from 4,900 down to 4,700 recently because of things that are going on in the world. And I've seen the consensus is still at 5,300. And I think that the big major firms out there are behind the curve making adjustments to those target prices. I think you're going to see those target prices come down. But we're still in a bull market. That doesn't mean you go running out and buy Teladoc or Rivian or, some of these other Lucid Motors or whatnot. Those are speculative stocks. They've had their moment. They do well in a speculative market, but this is more of a meat and potatoes kind of market. Oil and gas, copper, etc. Very different from recent markets. Well, when we come back, we'll give some more ideas on what looks good in this market right now. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review. We do this show Monday through Friday. I do it live from my home office in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, every day, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and all of the shows are then uploaded to our website at GundersonCapital.com and most of the podcast sites also. And it's a hard-hitting show. We try to hit all the things that are happening in the market every single day. every day is different. It's an exciting business to be in it. I've been doing the show for 23 years. And then we summarize everything in the newsletter on the weekends. Okay, let's just talk a little bit. We're not real wild this year on bond funds. Okay, you had a 40-year bull market in the bond market. 40 years, four decades, I know. They should continue to work, right? Well, we're now in, we've turned the corner. We've made a giant pivot from a falling interest rate environment to a rising interest rate environment. And we think that the rates have the potential to go quite a bit higher. We've only had 0.25 point rate hike so far. With inflation, breathing down our neck too, that also has a tendency to drive rates higher because the Fed's got to be more active in trying to tamp down inflation. We actually own an inverse bond fund. TBT is one of those. It goes up when interest rates go up. And look at the chart on TBT today. It's breaking out. You got to go back a ways. That's a new 52-week high on TBT. So if you own a lot of bonds, you could use that as a hedge. It goes the opposite way. When bond funds go down, it goes up. So you could either use it as a hedge, or you could just say, I just want a little bit of that to kind of hedge me against inflation out there in the market right now. So, I'm just giving you some examples. We do put into use inverse funds from time to time when we see areas of the market that are very vulnerable. The biotech sector to me is very vulnerable. It's long duration. Maybe they'll have a product someday. In the interim, they're burning cash. They don't do well in an inflationary environment. The bond funds, the genomics stocks, they did very, or the biotech funds and the genomics stocks, They did very well back in 2020 when people were speculating a little more on the market. But now that you've got a rising interest rate environment, multiples coming down, people looking more for short-duration stocks as opposed to long-duration stocks, we actually have a little position in an inverse bond ETF, which you can look up. There's many of them out there. And then on the long side, well, you know, Barry, it's kind of hard assets, which I have not been real fond of over the years. But there's times and there's environments that are created that put the wind behind the back of copper. And so a stock like Freeport-McMoRan sizzles during a time like this. You're seeing copper prices rise, industrial metals rise. There's going to be a lot taken off of the market because of, you know, all of a sudden shunning all these products that come from Russia. Uranium is another one. You know, there's upwards pressure on uranium. And that's the other bridge that Europe seems to be going
right
to.
And you've been hearing that I've heard beginning to hear a big push in the U.S. for nuclear as well. And one of my favorite symbols at the moment that you've been mentioning lately is U.
That's right.
Four U's.
Yes, four U's, and it's a uranium stock. Yeah. I think it's out of like Utah, Colorado, in that area. Yeah. And that's another area. And, of course, the energy, oil, you know, there's been a war on new pipelines. There's been a war on drilling, on fracking. So that's made supplies pretty tight, and then all of a sudden you have this war break out, and all of a sudden you're taking all that Russian oil off the markets. And it disappoints me that we're not looking in the U.S. here to Texas or to Canada to replace that Russian oil. Instead, we seem to be looking at Venezuela and Iran. I mean, didn't we learn from the mistake of all of a sudden Germany being dependent mostly on Russian oil? You know, these are rogue countries. You can't really, you know, trust that supply coming from them. They can use it as leverage against you, but for whatever reasons, you know, that's the route that they want to go here to replace that oil. So we, you know, especially the natural gas, Devon Energy's been really good to us. Of course, the big liquid natural gas company, Cheniere, has been really good to us so far this year. This is also a pretty good year, first good year in a long time that I've seen for gold and gold stocks. You know, and the old favorites, Barrick Gold and Newmont Mining, inflation. Gold likes inflation. Now, the only thing keeping gold from really taking off is the dollar has remained high. Because other currencies in the world, boy, the Japanese yen, I couldn't believe that. As I look at my charts every week, the yen is just imploding right
now. Yeah, I saw
it
hitting a 120 handle earlier this week.
What is going on? And, of course, that helps the U.S. dollar. But if the U.S. dollar starts to weaken, gold could really take off. And gold likes inflation, and it likes global conflict. So it has both right now. And I just throw out one other area. You mentioned it with the yield curve, especially the short end, the 3-month versus 2-year or 10-year. That's very favorable for the bank sector and the financial sector. The bank in particularly, because they make a lot more money. There's a lot bigger spread in what they borrow versus what they lend out. So those are the areas that benefit from this current situation we're in. And, of course, the others are the areas that don't do well and you want to avoid in this current situation that we're in the world. Now, if you would like to get some help with your portfolio, get a second opinion, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. That's a toll-free nationwide number, 855-611-BEST, or get 2 free weeks of my newsletter that I put out every single Saturday. Go to GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, buddy.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.